Now, we have read the Psalm 14 already. We're not going to go back there. As we read it, we see the fool said in his heart, there is no God. But we also see in chapters 9 through 18 that which reminds us of Romans chapter 3. I shouldn't say 9 through 18. It reminds us of Romans chapter 3, the verses 9 through 18, what we also see in Psalm 14. Romans chapter 3, 9 through 18 says this, what then are we better than they? No, in no wise. Paul's saying, no, we're not better. He says, the Jews are not better than the Gentiles. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We're speaking of those that the children of Adam, not yet in Christ. They are all gone out of the way, the right ways of God, to put it that way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They can't do anything acceptable to God in a spiritual sense, you see. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, someone says, well, that's not me. I don't feel that I'm in Christ, but I'm not like that. Well, you're not righteous, and so you're unrighteous. You're not a spiritual man discerning spiritual things. Are you seeking after God? Well, I hope so, because then the Lord is drawing you. But you've gone out of the way. You become unprofitable. There's nothing you can do that's spiritually good except you be in Christ. And in all of this, it speaks of a people that are not, they're drawing further and further away from God, put it that way. And this is the end of it all. And so this describes every sinner, and some more so than others with regard to some of it, you see. Now, this particular text we take up now is just this from verse 1 of Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so we ask the question, who is this fool of which this inspired psalmist writes? Is it the one we would call an atheist? Well, if we say that, and we will say that, it is, yes, it would include that, but the American Atheist Association would probably be upset with us. They would say, no, that's not us, because, to say it correctly, we don't believe in any gods. It's not just the God of the Bible, because that's what's spoken of. No gods. That's it. Man's just an animal, and we're the highest form, and there's nothing else. And so that's what they would say. No, that's not us. We don't believe in any gods. But certainly the atheist doesn't believe in the true God testified to by creation and revealed in the scriptures, the word of God, the Bible. The atheist denies the existence of God, as you know, the true God, the triune God, who is the uncreated creator of all things, the Godhead, one God subsisting in three divine persons of the same substance, nature, eternity, perfection, power, righteousness, holiness, godliness, and truth, to sum it up. And these three are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each having the whole essence, the whole divine essence, but yet in each the essence undivided. That's the true God. Now, the atheists would tell the Christian, our God is just false God. It's just a figment of our imagination. We're the fools. Truth is, he's the fool. He's the fool. And if the truth is told, there is no God the atheist despises so much as the true God, the great I am. He despises God because all of the other gods, those false gods, are on their face obvious constructs of man's imagination and all defy even right reason on the basis of the light the true God has given of himself in the creation and shown it unto every man and made it clear within them in the sense of their conscience bearing witness as well by that creation of what can be known of God, and not obviously enough to be saved, but what can be known. And then also the religion of other gods are studies in contradiction, aren't they? And these false religions of all kinds have only spawned misery, bondage, depravity, and cruelty of some sort and different sorts. Now, the atheist, though, despises the God of the Bible more than any false god for a number of reasons. We've named one already. Because that God we worship and serve makes himself known through the creation with respect to certain aspects of his character and who he is. And they hate that. It's there. And they hate it. How can they erase it? They can't. But they also hate the Bible. And it's for this reason that the Baptist Confession of Faith 1689 articulates, we may be moved and induced by the testimony of the Church of God to a high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scriptures and the heavenliness of the matter, the efficacy of the doctrine, and the majesty of the style, the consent of all the parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, the full discovery it makes of the only way of man's salvation, and many other incomparable excellencies and entire perfection thereof. And I would include the historicity of it there, and they would too. Our arguments whereby it doth abundantly evidence that it to be the word of God, yet notwithstanding our full persuasion, and this is important too, though, and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the word of our hearts. But they still hate the Bible. Certainly also the atheist can't hide the obvious blessings and benefits to the world which are of the gospel and the Christian religion. The transforming power and light of the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit is preached, taught, and practiced by the Church of Jesus Christ. How that has just transformed nations. How that has been behind every advance that has benefited mankind and brought any happiness at all. He can deny the fruit of the faith of Jesus with his lips, and that includes, of course, first and foremost, the making of new creatures, that radical change even with respect to some who are even vicious persecutors, lions, if you will, who have now become godly, loving people, lambs, if you will, of Christ. He can try to call it all coincidence, but he can't hide the reality, and what a coincidence it would all be, and he knows it. He's living in the reality, and history bears a constant record of it. So if we say the fool has said in his heart there is no God would apply to the atheist, that would be, we wouldn't be wrong, of course not. None but a fool would hold that there is no God, either in his heart or with his lips or both. None but a self-deluded fool would insist there is no God. And the text speaks not of gods, but God, the one true God. That's what the text speaks of. Only a fool would stubbornly insist against all evidence in the creation that this is just, it's just a coincidence. It's just a product of chance and time. Who but a fool would say that? You could say, well, what are the odds of that? There aren't any. There aren't any odds. The creation couldn't have created itself. It goes beyond any odds. It's absolutely, completely impossible by any mathematical or scientific calculation that the creation created itself. God created the creation. God created man, you see, with a reasonable soul. And man is capable of rational thought and has a faculty of reason. And to hold that there is no God is not even rational, and it's not consistent with right reason. Even the unsaved yet have the ability to reason and be rational. And so to hold there is no God against all the evidence of the creation alone, that's not even rational. It's counter to right reason. Now, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. With respect to God creating all things by the word of his power, well, Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. It's just too bad that there are Christians who don't necessarily hold to the faith that way, and they try to of course, say, well, God created things, but through a long process. But we understand why the world, they said, well, all right, we'll give you. If someone says, you know, God created all things, but we think it was a long process or whatever. No, by faith we know he spoke it into existence by the word of his power, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. But the creation itself, in which the fool lives, loudly declares that there is a God. And we see that in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 5. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Doesn't matter what language you speak, this language is heard. Day after day, night after night, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And so there's a witness of God there also, as Paul preached to the heathen, nevertheless, with regard to God, how he let the nations go their way for a time, but now he was calling all to repentance and in a sense of the beyond a general to accept what the creation showed of him, which they had an obligation to repent even before they heard the gospel and act according to that, which they didn't, but to now repent and believe on Christ. But he says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That too is a witness of God. And then we have Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God had shown it unto them, because that when they knew God, they glorified not him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the wrath of God has been shown over and over, even from heaven. We see it in his word, but we see it manifested in temporal judgments on nations and peoples. We see it manifested in personal judgments on individuals, and you can see examples of that even with persecutors, others who have mocked God. Those who are not in Christ have felt the lash of his displeasure with them at times in different ways, or will. And then in the conscience, he makes clear his wrath against all who hold his word, all that hold, I should say, the knowledge of him in unrighteousness, the truth in unrighteousness. We would extend that from the creation also to the word of God, because Paul is talking about the Gentiles that knew not God and did not have his word even, and how they're justly condemned. But then we would also say those who hold the truth in unrighteousness with regard to the truth that can be known of God from the Bible, and they've heard it and they've known it. And so there's a wrath of God against them. Holding the truth in unrighteousness, it's suppressing the witness that God has given them in their conscience by the creation. And then we would include now those who have heard it by the word of God, by the word of God, by preaching, by teaching, by reading. It's an ignoring of the witness God has given them and a suppressing of it and an ignoring of their conscience and a hardening of their conscience, a lying to themselves in their heart. It's a terrible sin. It's a terrible sin. And how much more so if it was for the Gentiles that didn't have the word of God, how much more so is it when those who have the word of God do this? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't act on it accordingly. God has revealed himself. God has revealed himself, his eternal power and Godhead. Not a perfect knowledge of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the obvious truth that the Creator is one true omnipotent God who is righteous in all his ways. It's obvious from the creation. He's omniscient, having all knowledge of all things at all times. He's almighty. He is the sustainer of all things. He's all wise, the source of all wisdom as we look at the workings of all things and the complexity of it. He's gracious and kind to his creatures. We see that as well with the rain and the sunshine and the food he provides and so forth. And onward, we could expand on this, so to speak. And so all men owe him worship, praise, thanksgiving, obedience, and repentance, and a seeking him while he may be found. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, though, and it's a terrible sin. And then they profess themselves to be wise, but what do they become? Fools, the Bible says, because they make their own gods. Verses 22 and 23 in that same chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible, uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I tell you, there are those who make themselves God. They do. They're a law unto themselves. And that's the same sort of sin. Our text this morning declares the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no Elohim. Now, that same Hebrew word in some cases is translated God's little g. And also, I say it refers to that. It's used as the same word. And also for high government officials, civil authorities in a few cases. But in our text, Elohim is without doubt the one true, almighty, eternal God of the Bible. And we note that the text does not say the fool has said in his heart there are no gods, but rather the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And so then we have what follows, and it sums up the nature of fallen man who has rejected what? False gods? No, the true God. We know our text is about the true God, the eternal God. Now, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, speaking of the true God that we see revealed in the creation, but much more so, inestimably more so, and clearly and completely in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When this was written, you'd have been hard-pressed to find an atheist. The Gentile world, they worship all sorts of false gods, they did. And, of course, Israel, they would apostatize at times, and they would have they'd worship Jehovah by golden calves, so to give you an example, and other times they worshiped Baal even and other false gods. But yet, they would have not denied that Elohim, God, that he was God, but they acted as he was one of many gods, and so they were denying him as the true God. But we don't keep this text just there. It's applied for all time. So we're not going to make that mistake. Now, do we understand the full sense and right application of the text? Well, yes, it's an atheist would say there is no God, of course, but we can't leave it there. There's more to it than that. We're going to miss something if we restrict it just to the atheist who says with his lips and in his heart, but with his lips there is no God. There's more there, and it's important to know that. Now, the text doesn't say the fool has said there is no God, just said with his lips or with his mouth, but he said in his heart there is no God. And so the important thing, the vital thing, the essential thing to understand first is that our text deals with the thoughts and motions of the heart, not the words of the lips. It doesn't say this person is saying there's no God. He may well be saying there is a God, but in his heart he's denying him. And that's seen by the outward working of his life. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. And remember Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23 declares, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's in your heart then has an outworking in your way of life, in your walk, in all that you do, the issues of life. It all comes out of the heart, what you believe in your heart, not just intellectually, but in the heart. And Proverbs 23, verse 7 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there may be that there would be some listening that are practical atheists in their heart, so to speak, even though they say, no, I believe in God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation. I'd be a fool not to. I'm not in Christ. No, I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying that I'm a Christian. I'm not saying I have the assurance or been born again. But I do believe in God. What about in the heart, which is so deceitful? Do you truly believe in God? Or are you a practical atheist then with regard to the outworking of what's in the heart? Jeremiah says the heart, speaking of the heart of fallen man, the unregenerate heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. The man, the woman, the young person can be self-deceived even. Psalm 10, verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. See, that one convinces himself, I'm fine, I won't be moved. I'm all right. It goes on, verse 11, he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. And so that one goes on, not worried about God, convincing himself in his heart that there'll be no punishment on this, that God does not have wrath against this. And then in verse 13, wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. No judgment to come. I'm not worried. I'm all right. I'm secure. If I decide to get sit in that sort of thing, salvation, getting right with God in the way that, well, I know I should, I'm not worried about it. In the text we've taken up, it needs to be applied then to those who are not in Christ, but have professed to believe in the God of the Bible, the same God, you see, they know has been proclaimed by the creation. I mean, they're nobody's fool, they would say. Just look at the creation. Of course I believe in God. And it's the God that of the Bible. It's not any other God, it's the God of the Bible. I'm not some fool like those that make their own gods, like those heathen that knew not God. No, not me. Not me. But they've heard the word of the Lord preached, but they profess, well, I do believe in that God I see in the creation, in the Bible. And so there are those that maybe are not among the Lord's people even. They've heard the truth from the Bible, and they say with their lips they believe in that God. And then we would also include in that group, and especially so, those among the Lord's people, literally among the Lord's people, who have not believed the gospel. They've not come to Christ and been born again. And it's essentially because they haven't made this their chief concern. They haven't been concerned about their own soul. They have not taken to heart the warnings of the scripture and the invitation of Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we would include those because they say, no, I believe in God. You take me for a fool? It's the God of the creation. It's the God of the Bible. Do you? In your heart, do you? In your mind, I don't doubt. But what about your heart? Yes, they might say, far be it from me. Far be it from me to be such a fool as to not believe the witness of the creation or to deny the word of God. I mean, there's only one God. I believe that. There's only one true God. And he's revealed in his word. Far be it from me to be such a fool as to not believe that there's one God. But then the same one is not convicted of his sins and just condemnation and the awful wrath of God against sin. And his warnings in the scriptures that their breath could be gone from their bodies at any moment, and their spirit stand before him, only to be cast into everlasting hell, to be joined by their body, raised up on the day of judgment for them. And so they haven't made this their chief and ongoing and even consuming concern to be saved, to receive pardon for their sins and saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Everything else is more important. All these things that are fading away, they're just temporary. Other things are more important, not eternity, whether in heaven or hell. And so whatever such a one might say with their lips, or even believe intellectually in their head, in their heart, they are in a sense saying there is no God. You say, how are they saying that? Well, they're denying in their heart the one true, holy, righteous God revealed in the Scriptures. They're living as if he doesn't exist. He's calling them to repentance and to seek him while he may be found, to lay hold on Christ and to cry out that he would save them. But they're living as the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the heart is deceitful above all things, remember, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? There is but one true, self-existent, eternal, unchanging, immutable, almighty, omniscient God, the creator, sustainer, ruler, judge, and savior. There's one. That's the one God. You believe on him or you don't. And how you act on that belief shows what's in your heart. If you really do, other than maybe intellectual, if you really do believe in God, that there is a God, the God you say, the God of creation, the God of the Bible, that you accept that. Or if you're saying there is no God, because any other God is no God. Any mutation of the true God, any false representation in any way, even in your own heart, that's a false God. And so you're saying there is no God. He's either God or he isn't. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 44, the verse 6, same chapter, the verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45, the verse 5. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. 1 Corinthians 8, the verse 4 testifies, there is none other God but one. 1 Timothy 2, the verse 5, to give one more scripture we could give. In this regard, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God is God. God is God. And yes, he is long-suffering, he is kind, he is full of goodness. In love, he sent his own son to save sinners. But don't forget, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145, the verse 7. And don't forget that the Lord will not acquit the wicked. And don't forget, God is angry with the wicked every day. The scriptures tell us this. And that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And he says in Deuteronomy 32, the verse 41, if I whet my glittering sword, that sword of vengeance, that sword of judgment, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. Someone might say, I'm not God's enemy. Well, you're not his friend. It's how he sees you, not how you see him. You say, I don't see him as my enemy. He sees you as his. You're at enmity with him. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're a child of wrath by nature. You're turning away from him. And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is for the unsaved. A fearful thing is to fall into the hands of the living God, but no matter. I'm not concerned. I'm not going to seek the Lord while he may be found. I'm not going to make this my ongoing and abiding concern until I'm saved, until I have that assurance and I'm born again. Revelation 21, verses 6 through 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, these are all unbelieving, by the way, but specifically unbelief is a terrible sin. And so it's highlighted here. These are all unbelieving, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you see, unbelief is such a heinous sin to God that's emphasized, the unbelieving. They will not believe, truly believe. Take to heart what the Bible warns, what the Word of God warns with regard to the wages of sin and the wrath of God. and the way of salvation and the love of God in it. Revelation 20, the verses 14 and 15, and death and hell shall be cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the word of the Lord. That's the end of all who die without Christ in their sins. This is the God that this one we speak of says he believes in. But not acting in that belief, he's saying in his heart, there is no God. Not like that. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. James writes this, chapter 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. When thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The one we speak of believes in his intellect. There's one God, but not in his heart. And it's obvious by his actions, her actions. So thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Well, you haven't denied the existence of God. But what of your heart? Out of the heart are the issues of life. Are you not saying, there is no God? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe in the one true God. That's why they tremble. They tremble because they know the sentence they're under. An eternal hell to which they are irrevocably sentenced. There is no salvation for them. Christ did not come to redeem devils, but he did come to redeem sinners. And all who die without him will be in hell with the devils. The devils are trembling even now. But so many there without Christ, they're not trembling. The devils, they understand who God is. They know who God is. They truly believe in God in that sense. But those that are without Christ and without salvation, who don't tremble, knowing the truth of God and holding it in unrighteousness, they act in a sense worse than the devils, don't they? Because at least the devils tremble. How can it be then, unsaved man or woman or young person who insists he does believe in God, that he's no atheist then? He's not an atheist. He believes in God. He believes in the true God, he says, of the scriptures that made all things. How could that be if he then doesn't tremble? If he's heard of the true God, if it's been preached to him, if that God's been shared in the home, if that God has been preached, taught week after week, how is it he wouldn't tremble to think of the wrath and penalty of God against him on account of his sins? Because the true God hates, despises, abhors, hath a hot wrath against all sin, and in righteousness will punish all sinners. Yes, sometimes even here there are chastisements for sin. And sin itself brings a penalty. Sin itself brings destruction in time. But then so great a death in the end, eternally, so great a death. Paul speaks of how Christ has delivered us from so great a death. And in Hebrews 2, the verse 3, he writes, how shall we escape? Speaking of not himself, but those that are not in Christ, but speaking in this way. If we neglect so great salvation. This is it. On one side, so great death. Over here, so great salvation. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Jesus said this, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, that's not me. Someone says, it's not me. I'm not as bad as them. That to whom he spoke immediately. Well, I'll tell you this, then apply the second half to you. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? You say you're not an atheist? But it seems that if you're not seeking the Lord, if you're not taking him at his word, then perhaps you are that fool that says in his heart there is no God with respect to who the true God is. And so there's unbelief, and it's a very serious unbelief, because 1 John 5, verse 10 says this, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave us of his Son. This is the way of salvation, through his Son. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So such a one as we're speaking about needs to realize that he is self-deceived. His own heart is deceiving him. And he'd do well, she'd do well to consider that in his heart, he apparently thinks he's in no great danger of the wrath of God. I mean, it's imminent. It's there. It's hanging over him. No one knows how long he has on this earth. God has many, many times, countless times, just suddenly taken such a one, no matter what their age is, and plunged them into the depths of hell. It's his sovereign right. So such a one needs to understand the danger he's in, and he's been storing up more wrath by spurning the grace of God in Christ. Can't save himself, but he can seek the Lord to save him. But in his heart, he's denying the true God if he doesn't tremble as he thinks of his own sin and the wrath of God and seek the Lord to be saved. Deuteronomy 32, the verse 39, take it to heart. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. We pray that those that would hear this message would be wounded. In a sense, stricken in their heart, pierced in their heart by their own sin. And they tremble before God as they realize the danger they're in from the true God. The God whose eyes can't bear to look at sin. And yet, he forbears to cast all unbelievers into hell. And in love sent his Son to save those that would believe in him. But take to heart, there's no God with me. I kill. He's sovereign. He gives life and he takes life away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I make alive. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, the truth that's known of God. This is the very root and wellspring of all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. They hold the truth of God. They hold the truth of God, that is, what he's revealed of himself in the creation and, of course, in the Bible. In unrighteousness. That's it. Unbelief. That's it. Turning away from it. It's all very well to say, no, I'm not a fool. I believe that God, the God even from the Bible, created all things. But then to not act on it, that's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. That's to deny the nature of the true God. And to deny his word. So, to the one that says, well, they believe in God. Well, believe in the God of justice and wrath that brought the worldwide flood on all mankind except Noah and his family? Save them out of it? That righteous man? That preacher of the gospel? They rejected, the whole world rejected the word of the Lord and the gospel Noah preached. Unbelief. Believe in God? Which God would that be? Would it be the true God who in justice and wrath rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah as a warning to all unrepentant sinners and all that would go the way of wickedness and disbelief, neighboring cities of the plains as well? It was their wickedness. But they held the truth in unrighteousness, you see. Is that the God you believe in? The true God who in justice and wrath literally opened the earth under Korah and his family and company, and they went down alive into the pit. Would it be that God then that you believe in? Or are you saying in your heart, no, not that God, perhaps? You believe in the true God who sent fiery, deadly serpents among his own people? Because of why? Their sinful unbelief is the root of it, and so their rebellion. Another case, what did he strike down? 20,000 with a great plague? Because of their ungodliness and unrighteousness, stemming, of course, from their holding the truth and unrighteousness about God. How many examples could we give? The Babylonian captivity, the overthrow of Jerusalem, and many examples since, holding the truth of God in unrighteousness. There are none more guilty of that than those who not only have had what may be known of God manifests in them by the creation, but also, and this is so much worse, had the truth of God revealed to them in the Scriptures. What a great blessing it is. and including in that, then, his holy wrath against all sin, their sin, and his righteous sentence on all sinners, them included. That is death, never-ending eternal death of soul and body in hell, suffering the wrath, the just wrath and punishment of God for sin. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So if you believe in God, the God of creation, the God of the Bible, where's the trembling for sin? Where's the seeking him while he may be found? Where is the realization that every second without Christ and salvation, you're in great danger in the hands of a sovereign God? How could anyone be so careless and heedless and acting absolutely contrary to believing in the one true, almighty, sovereign, holy God, but instead continuing on to live as a fool that says there is no God? This is not to say others haven't trod the same path, but they were warned the same way if they were blessed of the Lord. Because you see, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And remember that one that he held the truth of God in unrighteousness, and he was going to build such a wonderful life for him, and what happened to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can that not happen to anyone that says in his heart, in truth, there is no God, not the true God? Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Many that are not in Christ, that are not seeking him, say, well, I'm not wicked, though. God says you are. God says I was until I sought the Lord. I had the blessing of hearing the gospel preached finally. And God worked through that, although also over the years by witnesses here and there. Isaiah 45, the verses 18 through 22, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Doesn't call sinners to repentance in vain. He's sincere. This offer of salvation, it's in all sincerity. To those that will seek the Lord, well, he may be found. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. One God. If we say we believe in that one God, and if we truly believe, will we not act upon that belief? With an understanding of who he is, his nature, his wrath against sin, his threatenings and his promise, and his awful judgment to come. There is one God. And thank God there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul preached, or Peter, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The clear conclusion of that is he may not be found by you someday. It's God's prerogative to shut you out from salvation at any time. It's his prerogative. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Lord, while he was in his time of humiliation on earth, said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. You say, I'm no atheist. Then search your heart and see who is this God you say you believe in. Is he the one true God? Well, if he is, then you would do well to act upon that. Now, one thing in closing I want to say with regard to the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Even those in Christ, in certain instances in which they know the word of the Lord and they willfully just ignore it, something that's commanded or forbidden or declared or instructed, warned of or promised, if they willfully ignore it and act contrary to that, in those instances, we are acting in a similitude to the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. Are we not? Yes, we are. And so we close with the words of Elijah. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Amen.